she was insistent about drink this. And finally I was like, if you'll shut the fuck up, I'll drink it. Good Lord. Right.
Yeah.
I drink it. Next thing you know, I fall asleep and I'm woken up to like two people with handcuffs busting in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, come with us. You can do this easy way or the hard way.
This is back to your story.
So for the people just tuning in, my lovely lady, why don't you do a brief introduction?
Hi, my name's Anna. I go by Anna Cabana on the gram. And I'm a content creator and I do like rock and roll and music related content. And I'm into fashion and manifestation and law of attraction and just everything, a little bit of everything.
Okay, I like that. You're like so multifaceted. You're like the Swiss Army knife of content creation.
And what's funny is like I went to college for criminal justice and that's what my degree is in. No, I swear.
Let's get out of here. There we go.
Yeah, I just knew it wasn't my calling. Yes. I've always been just this weird creative like freak. And I was like, I can't have a 9-to-5 and do like, it's just not my thing. And I tried to fit the mold, but I was like, this just isn't, I'm going to be miserable. And I just couldn't. So I just said, I'm just going to figure it out. I don't know how and what that means, but I'm going to go off on my own and just be this free-spirited butterfly and make it work.
I absolutely, you know, so many people, right? So many people that went to school for criminal justice, right?
Yeah.
And did that, they would stay the path regardless if they had those feelings deep down inside. Mm. Like deep down inside, they knew that this shit was not right for them, right?
It's fear and ego that keeps you stuck.
It is. What was so unique about your story that was like, nah, fuck this. I'm going a different route.
Well, I mean, my whole life I've always felt a little different.
Yes.
And so I tried to kind of, well, society says, and my parents were on my ass about it, but like society kind of makes you think that you got to do this and that. And it's like,
yes.
So I kind of was like this little robot trying to do all that. And then I got out of school and was like, what? And I also, you know, went through trauma, you know, there's a lot of different life things that happened and kind of shifted things for me. And finally I was like, no, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to figure it out. I'm going to follow my heart. I am such a heart follower. And I think this kind of came after I had like, this crazy spiritual awakening, really.
What was the spiritual awakening?
Well, I just like, you know, I grew up like in a Christian household and stuff. And it was so forced on my throat that I finally got to a point where I was like, fuck this. Like, yeah. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to listen to what my parents have to say. And I kind of like went off to my own thing, kind of went down dark paths and stuff. And then I finally kind of came back to faith, but not, I wouldn't say religion.
Yeah.
More just like spirituality. And I just kind of, I guess, woke up and I am just so, I'm super intuitive. And I am a heart follower. I do what feels good. And that's how I live my life.
Yes.
And that's how I ended up moving into Nashville. I just kept getting all these crazy signs that like, that's where I needed to be. And I, no joke, told my roommate I was moving, packed up a U-Haul essentially by my fucking self. Had never seen this apartment before, but like went online, signed a lease and moved. I have no friends, no family there. I just fucking moved. I know.
What?
Mm-hmm. Because I felt led. I just felt like I was had this pull to like move to Tennessee and start a new life and like be this content creator. And even though I didn't know how this was going to happen, I was like, I'm going to make it work. I don't give a fuck. What. I'll do anything. Within reason. But yes, like, yes.
I get it.
I was like, man, I'm going to be successful. No one's getting in my way.
Yeah.
I know how to be alone and like, it's great to have friends and stuff, but I will not have people in my life that are naysayers or no. Like, I know how to be alone and just, I don't know. I'm a feeler. I'm a total feeler.
I absolutely love that. And you said something twice. I know how to be alone.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so many people, right, do mm-hmm. not realize how important it is.
Right.
To be comfortable in your own skin. So many people don't realize.
I know.
The most amount of time you will spend on this planet is mm-hmm. by yourself. Let me send you this, Tyler. It's this graph that shows you. I sent it to my wife the other day.
Yeah.
And it really does show you how much time you will be spending by yourself on a day-to-day basis. I do apologize. I'm going to find
it. No, you're fine. That's really interesting.
It might be in the gram. Yeah, it definitely is. It's an Instagram. I'm going to airdrop it to Tyler and he's going to pull it up on the screen.
Cool.
The amount of time that you spend by yourself on a day-to-day basis,
it's
but then even with your, this breaks it down with like kids, friends, family,
right?
Coworkers. I mean, compared to like your significant other, right? Mm-hmm. And yourself, right? Mm-hmm. The most amount of time you'll spend with the next person, right, yeah, in your life, right, is your coworkers.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely incredible.
Crazy, because most people hate their coworkers.
I mean, and that's
a lot of times people can't stand them. It's like, and these are the people that you're with all the time. It's crazy.
It's fucking insane. If I airdrop this to you, Tyler, can I send it to you on Instagram? Yeah. Are you logged in, or where do you want me to send it?
Instagram.
Instagram? Okay. I just sent it to him on Instagram.
Perfect. Yay.
Let me know if you got it. I'm sure you did. But it says, pretty much the caption is like, data shows how much time we spend with other people as we age, right? And so it's like, you said this key thing, right? Bringing up, you know, just like really being in love with yourself and being content with yourself.
I've been single for like 10 years. I haven't dated at all. It's crazy.
And we're going to get back to that. Check this out, right? So for the people just listening, right?
Whoa. Like,
is that the first slide, right?
You know, I think I saw that.
This is insane. So it says, cool, before the age of 20, you'll spend a lot of time with a lot of friends. So after 30.
Right.
All
right.
So then after 30, it starts to go down with friends. Next slide.
Wow.
So after the age of 20, you only spend a small time with your family and parents before the end of their life. So it's like when you're a kid, you spend a lot of time with your family, right? And then it drops off, and then you can see it picks up towards the later years. All right. And then the next one is, you'll spend a huge amount of time between the age of 20 and 60 with the people you work with. So literally the brunt of your life, right? 20 to 60, 40 years, you're going to spend a majority of your time with your coworkers. Next one. And then it says, if you're a parent, you'll spend the most amount of time with your children between the age of 25 and 50. Wow. Right. So when they're 25 and 50, or I guess when they're 25 and 50.
Right.
Right. Because that makes sense. So when they're 25 and 50, right. Next one is, the time you spend with your partner will continue to increase from the day you meet them until the day you die.
Wow.
Right. Which is absolutely incredible. Next one. So at 30 years old, the amount of time you spend by yourself increases until the day you die.
Wow.
It's just like a fucking rocket.
And that is so spot on.
And the last one. So pretty much, right? What this is getting at, right? Is like, A, life is fucking quick, right? But B, right? The amount of time that you spend with yourself is going to increase and increase and increase. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time that you have with the select group of people some of them that you truly care about and some of them that you don't, right? I don't know. It was a really eye-opening experience to see that on fucking paper or on the screen, right?
Yeah, and I'm a super empathetic person, and I absorb. I mean, like, I can go be in crowds and do that whole mingle and all, do the fun stuff, but like, I have to be alone to recharge and reset.
Yes.
Or I am no good. Yes. I am horrible.
Yes, yes.
So like, it's like a balance of like, immersing myself in people and, you know, meeting people, whatever, and then walking away and meditating and just being alone, praying and all that good stuff.
Have you always been like that though?
No, I think once I kind of awoke spiritually, really like around 2017, it just, everything changed. And I'm very like that now.
Yeah.
Love people. I'm very out there, very outgoing. But then I have to have time where I'm like, nobody talk to me, you know?
I get that. You know? I remember being younger and I could not stand being by myself.
Yeah, I remember that. I've been there.
Right? Like, I always had to have people around.
I know.
So much.
Right.
And then once, you know, there was a shift, right?
Did you have things you needed to heal that you were running from?
Oh, absolutely.
I did. That's exactly why couldn't stop partying and being around people.
100%.
Because I knew if I stayed still too long, then I'd have to feel the shit that I was running from.
Yeah.
But the second I started to work on that, it hurt. I mean, it sucked.
Of course.
But once I was able to get through that, it was like, oh, this is amazing.
It makes the world of a difference, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like those things that we're constantly running from. That's why we're filling it with those needs of people, right?
Right, right.
And sometimes those people are fucking toxic to your life, right?
But you don't see it when you're in it.
No, you don't see it, right?
No.
Right? But do you regret it?
No, because I wouldn't be who I am now without all the experience, the good and the bad.
Facts.
I would not be here who I am. And I know I don't know everything. We're learning every day, but like, I would not be me without all of the shit, the good and bad. So, I don't regret it at all.
I love that. No. I love that answer. You know, it's just like, these life experiences that we go through, mm-hmm. you know, especially when we're younger, define, you know, sometimes right. can define, you know, just parts of us, especially right. as we get older.
Yeah.
And to have, you know, not regretting those experiences is right. key. Working through that past trauma is essential, right?
Yeah.
You know, for you, how, when you go through, when you've gone through stuff in your mm-hmm. past, compared to like even like today, like
yeah.
how do you work through, you know, tough shit?
I mean, I've been through some things that like would normally break a person that they wouldn't be able to come back from. And I've come a long way too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like I think to myself, if that didn't kill me, I mean, I'm tough, you yeah. know, I'm tough. And I also like, I know who I am. I know what I want. And, you know, like I'm real big with having a relationship with a higher power. Like I said, not, I don't like religion, yeah. spirituality. And that is my foundation.
Yeah.
And I think if I didn't have that, I don't know where I'd be. Like, that's really important to me. So,
you know, our past experiences and shit that we go through.
Yeah.
Right. How does that define you today?
Oh my God. How does my past experiences define me today?
Yeah, especially the negative ones. Your trauma.
I'm just really proud of myself for getting through it. And not like I spent a while running from things and I finally like faced things and really made it out to the other side, you know? And I don't know. I'm really grateful. And like I said, as much as there's been stuff that have been, it's been really painful, but I wouldn't be who I am without it. I would have never said this years ago when I was going through it, but like, I'm grateful for it now.
Isn't that crazy?
Because I have life experiences. I mean, I'm 31 years old
yeah.
and I've been through things that, you know, I don't even know if some grown adults have even dealt with. And so it's almost like these experiences that I went through as a young, you know, being young, matured the shit out of me, made me grow yes. up quick. And so it's crazy because a lot of times I find myself just being drawn to like an older crowd because people my age, I'm like, oh, we're just not. Yeah. And it's only because of my experience. I'm not better than anybody.
It's
because there's certain things that I've been through that made me mature. It made me kind of grow up and yeah. grow and everything. So as much as it's been shitty going through these certain things, like I'm grateful for it. And like the fact that I can say that is huge.
Yeah.
The fact that I can say this stuff sucked, but I'm grateful and I wouldn't change anything is a big deal. And I'm proud of that. I've made it through that.
I'm proud of you.
Thank
Seriously,
you.
Seriously. Absolutely. Thank you. I mean, it's incredible. Have you been open with the closest people around you about these experiences or you know,
little,
talk about it?
A little. And what's so crazy. So before I came out here, there's an intuitive woman that's in Nashville that works with a lot of like influencers and like, I hate the word celebrity, but yes, you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
And, it's crazy because I saw her like before I came out to did, you know, Vegas and came out here and I didn't tell her about, I mean, I didn't, you know, when I meet with her, she just starts going and tells me what kind of came to her.
Yeah.
And I shit you not. She looked at me. She's like, you need to tell your story on that podcast. And I was like, oh my God, because I haven't really openly like talked about certain things, you know, but she encouraged me to speak up and like share.
It's important. It's so important yeah. to tell your story.
Yeah.
That's literally what this podcast is about.
I
back
know.
To your story,
I
about
know.
Sharing your story mm-hmm. because, you know, people don't realize how impactful a person's story, especially relatable ones.
I know.
So when looking back at your childhood and, mm-hmm. and those experiences, where does it start?
So I'm the oldest of four total, but oldest, three younger brothers. And like, I was different. I was always the black sheep. All my brothers were very like obedient. Mom and dad told me to do something. They did it. Me, I was different. And I would question everything and I just would, you know, buck the rules because I was like, I don't agree with any of this, right? And so I was always different. I felt like my parents were always on my ass. We fought always. I mean, we never weren't fighting, arguing, yelling, whatever. So looking back on, I mean, I'm not saying what I did was right, but I was a teenager. I'd sneak out, I'd steal a car, and sneak in my little boyfriend or sneak into his house and drink and smoke and, you know, just like stupid teenage shit. My brothers didn't do that. They were good. So, and my parents didn't do that stuff either. So here I come along and they're like, something's wrong with her. Clearly, because she's not like us. She's not like her other kids. She doesn't respond well when we like try and punish her, like something's seriously wrong with her. I'd be taken to psychiatrists all the time. You know, what's wrong with our kid? And like, it was just a disaster. So I remember I had this little boyfriend when I was 16. And, you know, we got in trouble together. Not in trouble with the law, but it was sneaking out. And, you know, just typical teenage shit. And I think my parents just didn't know what to do. So I was, I remember, I'll never forget. My mom kept, she was on my ass about drinking this hot chocolate she made me. And I'm like, why do you want me to drink this soap? It was weird. I knew something was weird, but I didn't know what. And she was insisting about drink this. And finally I was like, if you'll shut the fuck up, I'll drink it. Good Lord. Right.
Yeah.
I drink it. Next thing you know, I fall asleep and I'm woken up to like two people with handcuffs busting in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, come with us. You can do this easy way or the hard way. And I'm thinking I'm being kidnapped. Like, I'm like, what is happening? And my parents, so I'm screaming for my parents, but then they're sitting here watching. And I'm like, didn't know what was going on. I was thrown into the back of a van and I wasn't told where I was going. I ended up being driven from North Carolina to Louisiana to a program. And Paris Hilton talks about being sent to one, actually. And it was, I mean, there's a difference between a boarding school and a program. And where I was toxic as fuck. It was not a positive place at all. And so I was sent to this hellhole for about 7 months. And I had, you know, I did school there and stuff. But it was horrible. We had to, you know, you get there, they strip everything from you. They put you in these horrible clothes. You're not allowed to speak. You're on lockdown. It's crazy because a lot of the girls that were there were like, had been in juvie and stuff too. And they're like, juvie's, we wish we could go back to juvie. I mean, this place is horrible. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience. So my parents thought, let's be great. It'll be so, you know, it'll reform her. I was smart enough to play the game and act like I had changed just to get the fuck out. So then I get out. One of the many reasons they sent me there, because I was hanging out with a boy they didn't like, and I thought, oh, this is bad news. And so I get out, and I was there, turned 17 there. When I got home, I was like not too far away from my 18th birthday. So of course I reconnected with the boy. What's crazy is his parents sent him away too. My parents sent me away and his parents found out I got sent away. They called my parents to ask them for the number of the escorts that and they sent him off to a different place. So we both got fucking.
Oh my God.
So we come back and of course we reconnect and of course I'm lying like, no, I'm not talking to him. Yeah, you know.
Definitely.
Right. So the day I turned 18, my parents were like, all right, you got, you know, get out. And they were willing to even, you know, help me get an apartment. So I moved out at 18. And then, 3 months later, I'm pregnant. That was the whole situation.
18 years old.
Mm-hmm. 18 years old, pregnant, and, you know, partying my ass off. You know, like before.
Yeah, of course.
So I find out I'm pregnant. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to probably stop drinking.
Yes.
Maybe I should stop drinking.
I mean, you're a kid, dude.
I know.
You don't know any different. I mean, I get it.
I know. But I was like, okay, I think how this works is when you're pregnant, you're not supposed to drink. So I'll stop, you know, and I guess maybe smoking the Black and Milds at these parties. That's probably not a good idea either.
Yeah.
So I was able to like stop all the stupid shit. I guess.
Which is hard. You're a kid. You're a kid, dude.
Well, and also, you know, having my parents on my fucking ass for my whole life and then them sending me away. And
drugging you and sending me away. Like, that's crazy.
And I finally come back and I'm just like, I just want to live. And I was living and that got me knocked off. So.
by
the boy that they were like trying to get me away from. So that was the whole ordeal. I decided to have the child. Thought about other options, but was scared, honestly, to do the whole abortion thing. I was just too scared. So I had the baby and I thought, okay, well, me and this guy, we'll figure it out. You know, it'll work out. We're 18. We're kids, man, you know?
Of course.
So we end up, his parents had money and stuff. And like his grandmother had a townhouse in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and she let us live in it. And here I am like pregnant and I had quit doing all the shit. He just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Well, now we're noticing, wait a minute, he's got some psychological issues that are starting to show up. He's got, you know, I think he got diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar, just a laundry list of stuff that, I mean, I wouldn't have known. You know, I didn't see this side of him before. But again, when I met him, we were both living with our parents and I'd see him at school. How would I have known, right?
Yes.
But I think also when you're abusing drugs and alcohol, that causes a shit.
100%. 100%.
So he's punching holes in the drywall. I mean, he's
just,
I mean, it's bad. I think he got like mixed up in gangs and he was doing all kind of every drug you can imagine. And there was one day I remember I came home and he had sweatbands all up his wrists. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you wearing sweatbands? Like the little sweatbands you wear on your wrist.
Yeah.
They were all up his arms. And it was like the dead of summer. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I rip them off him. And he had sliced up his arms. So I'm like, oh my God. So it was the drugs, the alcohol. And then now he's cutting the shit out of himself. And I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So I remember I ran out of the house. I called my mom. And I tried to keep this shit from them for a while. Because I'm like, I'm the fuck up. And I just want to prove to them that I can do this.
Of course.
Well, you know, at this point, I was like, I'm going to have to call my parents. So I call my parents, and my mom goes, I remember she said, if he's willing to cut himself up, he might cut you too. Get in your car and get the fuck home. So I moved in back home with mom and dad, and almost had to move into a safe house. This individual threatened to kill me, threatened to send gang members to the house and blow up the house. And and at the time, I had a brother that was had cancer and was living in a hospital. So I'm 18 and pregnant. Brother's 16, literally living in a hospital. We don't know if he's going to die or not. And we're getting death threats every day. We had to put sheets on our windows because we were scared this fucker was going to drive by and shoot up the house. We had to get the SWAT team involved. We had to get ATF involved. I mean, it's just insane.
Sheets?
Yeah, because I was scared. I'm like, I don't want him seeing like through the window. I was just so paranoid. I remember my mom like would go to the grocery store and I'd be like, I don't want you to leave me here. I mean, she'd go on up the road to the grocery store and I was so paranoid.
Yeah.
So that was a whole, I mean, it was the trauma being so young and being so just young. Oh my God. I mean, literally having to almost move into it. I had to go tour a fucking safe house as 18 years old and pregnant. And here I am touring safe houses because I don't know if this fucker is going to kill me or not.
And you don't know who to trust too. It's like the incident with your parents, you know,
right.
Doing what they did. Right. It's like, how can you trust that?
Oh,
right.
And then, God.
You know, it's just like,
I wanted it to work. I mean, like I was like, well, I'm pregnant. I'm having this kid. Like ideally, you know, my parents have been together my whole life and that's, I was like, well, you know, it would probably be good if me and the dad could work it out and be together. But no, I mean, he was just toxic and he had problems.
Yeah.
But it was horrific. I mean, it was just like he was abusive and it was just a bad situation. I knew like I had to get away. I had to. I mean, I had someone else to think about at this point. Yeah. This wasn't about me anymore. No. There was an innocent baby that was now about to be put in the middle of this shit.
And you're a baby.
Right. I'm a kid with having a kid.
Yeah. You don't realize that when you're 18 years old. No, 19,
you think you're
20.
So grown.
You do. You fucking do. Right. I'm 36, gonna be 37 at the end of this year. It's like,
whoa, you are?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were like 30.
I mean, I'm not that much older, but yes.
No, but I thought,
but
no,
it is. I know, I get what you're saying. It is kind of, yeah, I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm 36, right? And so looking at 18 years old now, so it's young. Just like, it is. You're still a fucking child, man.
I know.
You're still a fucking child.
I know. And I just wanted to be grown. I wanted to figure this out and I wanted this to work out.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried. I really fucking tried. Sure. I tried. You know, I tried to encourage the individual to take their medication and I tried to, I mean, everything. Yeah. And they weren't capable of it.
Yes.
You know, they just weren't. And so, you know, cops were getting called all the time and it just got dangerous. It got dangerous and I had to get the fuck out, especially when I saw them cutting themselves all over and drugs everywhere. It was just bad. So I ended up moving home with mom and dad and I had to convince everybody in the town that I had moved away. Like nobody knew where I was. I had one friend that knew that I still was living with my parents and she was told, don't you dare tell anyone where I'm at because we can't have baby daddy find out.
So you just wouldn't go out at all?
I wouldn't. I was scared.
Whoa.
Because he was like, I mean, he knew some like serious gangbangers and they didn't like me because there was a time where I came home one day and they were in the house and I fucking cussed them all out and said, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, she's a problem.
Yeah.
We don't like her
yeah.
because she's getting in the way. So I'm like, you know, these people wouldn't give, it would be nothing to them to just take me out. Yeah. So, I mean, nobody knew that I was even around. I mean, people really, like, I think people, you ask my parents, you know, where's Anna? And they'd be like, I don't know, she moved off. We don't even know where she, yeah.
So you're just hiding in the house.
Hiding in the fucking house, would not leave.
And your brother's got cancer.
Brother's got cancer, he's living in the hospital. And because he's 16, mom and dad have to take turns living in the hospital with him, sleeping on an air mattress. Yeah, he couldn't be alone because he's 16. So, and he had to get these treatments. These, I mean, like, he had to do chemo and radiation. And because he was a minor.
Brutal.
You know, they wanted a parent there.
Yeah.
And so dad was the bread. Dad worked. So dad had to go on business trips and travel all the time. So here's mom, you know, living at, you know, at the hospital. But also, I mean, I have a brother that now he's 17. I'm 14 years older than him. So my mom had me pregnant and getting death threats and, you know, who knows if the dude's going to kill me or not.
Yeah.
Then brother under me, cancer. Don't know if he's going to live or die.
Yeah.
And then we have one that's 7, who's the only one that's going to school. You know, he has to go to school. And then I think my youngest was, youngest brother was like 2. But she had, I mean, it was just
so
a fucking.
I have a
brother that's 14 years younger than me.
So you have a. Your kid. My
kid is 5 years younger than my youngest brother. So my brother was an uncle as like really, really young.
Wow.
So, so ended up, you know, having the kid, told the hospital, you are not allowed to give out any information. If anybody calls, you don't know anything. I mean, it was just like,
just a little bit closer.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's all
good. Hospital was warned. Don't you dare tell anybody.
You can move it back, too, if you want to, like, lean back. Yeah, okay. There you go.
Is
that
good?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, have the baby. But we knew, you know, the baby daddy and his family, like, they're going to know this kid's popping out at some point. And so we knew, like, this is going to be a shit. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to face the music on this, you know.
Did his parents try to get involved?
So this is where the problem lies. Baby daddy had mental issues, and he ended up going to jail a lot for violent offenses. He was stabbing people, doing all kinds of stuff.
Jesus.
So he was in jail. He was in prison. And he had no money to fight. I mean, he had nothing. He was in prison. The problem was his father was the head of all crime control in North Carolina. Daddy
did a good job raising.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
Well, daddy would do this whole, well, he's my son and I love him. And you know, we should feel bad for him. And you can't really tell some parents that have a kid dying of cancer and a daughter that's pregnant being threatened every day that we should feel bad for the drug addict.
Facts.
Right. So it didn't really go over too well with my family. I remember, you know, we had lots of court dates because his father would fight for him.
Jeez.
His father was like, look, he's my son and I love him and he wants to see this kid. And I was like, no, he's doing this to spite me. He doesn't care about this kid. He's mad that I decided to walk away and be done. And this is not about the kid. It's about fuck Anna. Watch what I can do. Because he used to tell me, my dad will do whatever I want. Well, and he would. And so I remember my kid was like 2 years old and I got a paper saying that I needed to let my baby go to the jail and see his father. And
he had to write. Mm-hmm.
His dad called me and said, grandfather called me and said, you know, you need to let your son go see his dad in the jail. I'm like, no, I mean, that's just insane. They wouldn't even let their own children around him because he was dangerous. But you want me to let my infant around this fucker? Yeah.
So you have to bring...
So I said, no. I think I told him to go fuck themselves. I think I said over my dead body, fuck you. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, he called the judges and make it all. Yeah, see, that was what we were going up against. We were going up against somebody that would just make things go away.
Yes.
Make charges be dropped. My parents helped out a lot. You know, my parents would watch my son and, you know, I worked. I mean, I was worked a bunch of jobs. You know, I would see my kid, you know, on the weekends and whenever I wasn't working. And I'm not going to lie, dude. Look, I was a kid, you know? And so sometimes my parents had my son, I would go party a little bit because holy fuck, I had just been through a whole lot of stuff and I needed a release, right?
Yes.
So I did the best I could. Obviously, if I could go back knowing what I know now, I would have done certain things differently. Of course.
Yes.
But I'm not going to beat myself up over what I can't go back and change. And I'm trying to give myself grace now and say, look, you were so young.
Yeah.
You didn't know. You did the best you fucking could.
Facts.
Being a child. So,
and you're honest about it. So I respect that.
Yeah, look, I've done some stupid shit, but I never was fucking stabbing people downtown and ended up in prison 5 billion times.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, hold on now. Like, I have fucked up, but like, I didn't do that.
Yes.
So like, there's a difference, you know? So, parents, I will give them credit. You know, they definitely, you know, they
stepped up.
They did. And my parents did a great job. This whole court back and forth thing went on for years. And, I mean, we thought this is going to be a cakewalk. You know, we show up to the court and show all this laundry list of stuff we got against this guy. And all I wanted was full custody of this kid. You know, look, I didn't even want any money from baby daddy or his family. I just wanted the kid. I wanted to give the kid a chance between me and my family and my brothers, we just, that's all we wanted. Just let us have the child. We won't bother you for anything. Didn't want to do that because it was, fuck Anna, I'll show you. Well, it didn't help that dad was paying off judges and just doing whatever. So my son is now 5 and this court stuff's going on and on. And finally the judge said, no, his father has a right to see him. And I'm like, no, I mean, this dude is dangerous. I mean, he has been on record. He has gotten arrested for violent offenses, for waving guns around, for stabbing people, all kinds of stuff, right? So then I get brought up to me, well, Anna, what have I ever thought of adoption? I'm like, adoption? What do you mean? I'm like, adoption? Yeah, I just was like, that's insane. I don't even know, you know, what you're talking about. And long story short, and this is where I had a major issue with my parents, the court stuff wouldn't stop. Finally, we were told, look, like, you're not going to get full custody. And it was only because of the connections that baby daddy's father had. That's it. Because there's no other situation where somebody that had done all these things would be awarded to be around a kid. Thanks. So my parents had brought up, well, you know, baby daddy won't let us have him. But how do you feel about maybe you give up your rights too and let your son go live with another family? You know, because he was fine with giving up rights if I didn't have my son. He didn't want me to have the kid, but he was cool with just somebody else having him. He didn't want my parents having our kid. He didn't want me having the kid, but he didn't want the kid. His parents didn't want the kid, but he was totally fine to sign over his rights. So this was brought up to me and I was like, what? Like, absolutely not. It's insane. So I'll never forget. I remember I needed a co-signer for a car. And my parents were like, oh, we'll totally help you. They show up to the Toyota dealership in Raleigh and everything's great. I pick out a car and we're sitting down to go sign the papers. My parents said, well, we're going to help you, but you do this first. They dropped adoption papers in my lap at the car dealership. And they said, you need to sign this. You need to sign this and, you know, just do the right thing. This will give my son's Aaron, you know, give him a fair chance. You know, we've tried to fight this and we've done everything and we can't keep doing this anymore. And but it was horrible. The fact that, like, now I'm feeling like my parents gave up. And so I'm like, wow. So yeah, that's what ended up happening is I was forced into giving up my child that I had till he was around 5. And he now lives with another family. And for years, he's now 12. And for years, I mean, this was horrible. This fucked me up so bad. Having my kid taken when I didn't do anything. It wasn't like I was a drug addict and I was just couldn't raise the kid. Honestly, part of me thinks that maybe if I was, at least there's a reason, right? This happened. So it was so horrible being the parent that didn't do all that. And here I am getting my kid taken all because some motherfucker wants to be spiteful. And he won. It was horrible. So, I was forced to sign these fucking papers. And my kid ended up going and living with this family. And I remember when that happened, I mean, I was gone, checked out, mentally gone. I mean, I was like numb, gone, checked out. And so I partied a lot, you know, I did all kinds of shit. I look back and there's things I did where I'm like, the fact that I'm still here, holy shit. I mean, I was chewing fentanyl badges and I didn't give a fuck. Yeah. I didn't want to die, but I just felt like I'm going to just do whatever. It doesn't matter. I just lost my kid, yeah. You know, and my parents were a part of it and fuck. So I didn't speak to my family at all. I cut them all off. My friends didn't really know about this. Like, so here I am holding, like carrying around all this stuff. And I would act out I would numb myself by partying and drinking and just doing whatever.
Yeah.
And like I said, I didn't full blown OD, but I had a lot of close calls. Like looking back on it, there were times where I would eat something and then I'm like, oh, I need to go take a nap. And I feel like if I would have, I wouldn't have woken up. Like, honestly. But and this is how I look back and say, I feel like there a higher power was looking over me or watching over me during this time. And then I have a purpose. And so now, like, man, I don't do stuff like that anymore. Yeah. 'Cause I feel like I had so many close calls and I've made it through so many things that I'm not fucking off anymore. Like, I'm here for a reason and I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm going to follow through with my purpose. So, long story short, like that happened and it was very, very hard to deal with. And, before I moved to Tennessee, I knew like, I need to reach out to these people to have my kid and see if I can. Well, one, I got a lawyer and I told him my story and he first said, I'm so sorry. Holy shit. But after he looked through some, you know, looked into it and he's like, I'll be honest with you. Adoptions aren't reversed. They're not. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. They're just not reversed. And number one, number two, like No judge is just going to let you just take this kid out of this environment he's in where he's thriving and just let you run off to Tennessee with him. So I had to just kind of accept that this is the way it was, and decided to reach out to the people that had him and said, can we talk? And that was horrible.
Yeah.
I had to reach out to these people, meet them in a fucking Starbucks. And it was just like so emotional. It's horrible. But they didn't let me see him.
Wow.
And I saw him for the first time a few years ago on Christmas Eve. And I'm consistent with it. I make sure to, and that's when I said I go to North Carolina a lot, that's why.
Wow.
I make sure to, I knew I had to leave North Carolina because everything that happened there was like, I can't be here. This is just, it's too much.
Yeah.
So I live in Tennessee now. I started fresh and I go back once a month, spend time with my kid. And I'm doing my best to just move forward from all this. But it's been horrible. Normal. And I've never openly talked about it. This is the first time. But I felt like I needed to. I felt like, who knows if there's other people going out there going through this shit.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I commend you for being open, right?
Thank
like
you.
It sounds like your story is you're very alone through the entire experience 100%. And no one to really trust or rely on.
No.
I mean, you're a little kid going through that experience, right? And not having someone to really have your back without, ulterior motives, right?
Like, well, and everyone, the people you're supposed to trust the most is your
parents.
Mom and dad,
but like,
right?
If they're willing to fucking drug you, like, come
right,
on.
Right,
like,
right,
like, that's,
right.
Like, that's fucking crazy, man. Like, that's fucking crazy.
It is crazy.
I don't know what it's like to go through that experience of having a kid at a young age and then, being so hopeless to, but being in that opportunity, right, to give your kid a better life, right? Like,
that's been fucking hard.
That's got to be fucking hard, right?
Yeah, because I've had to just put my emotions aside and say, because he's doing so well. I mean, he's got straight A's. He's like an incredible athlete to the point where he's 12, but he's on these elite teams and traveling. Wow. I mean, he's like the busiest kid on the planet. And it's funny, his adoptive mom says he's the busiest person I know that doesn't have a job because he's so busy that. and he's a good kid. He's kind. He's got a good heart. But it sucks because that's my fucking kid. It's not your fucking kid.
I know.
And the fact that there's been times where I'll be at their house and they might say something that I don't like, or maybe there's views on stuff that I don't agree with. And I can't say anything. I have to sit there and be fucking quiet and just take it. Because if I were to say something, they could say, you can't see him anymore.
Of course.
So that stuff still bothers me. That is like, there's parts of times where I want to be like, fuck you, that's my kid. Don't tell me. But I can't.
Are they good parents?
They are. They are. I mean, they're intense. I mean, the dad is like ex-military and like, but they are good people. And my son, like I said, he's thriving.
And that's.
But
that's,
it's still,
but it's
I
hard.
Mean, it's not. I don't
it's
love having to see him like that. And another thing too, when I had him, the birth certificate, I sure as fuck didn't put baby daddy's name on there.
Yeah.
I said that I was like, I don't know who it was. Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, I don't know. I knew, but I was like, because I thought maybe if I lied and didn't put his name that, well, it makes it a lot harder for some guy to take it. It's just an extra step they have to go through to prove that they're the father than start the court process. So I was like, not sure who it is.
Yes.
It could be anybody.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
Yes.
So on the birth certificate, my kid had my last name.
Yeah.
But man, when he got adopted, of course, they gave him his last name or their last name. That stung. Getting a letter from him and it said like his last name. And that it's just like there's been so many things that it's been so like it's not felt good.
Yeah.
That's just it. This has not felt good at all. It's been very painful.
I know.
And I'm just now getting to the point where I'm like, I need to speak up. Because if I can help someone, even if it's just one person, then I need to do that. Because I wish I had someone to talk to when I was going through this. I had no one, I couldn't fucking talk to my family. I hated them. I had no one. None of my friends had kids. They didn't understand. And most of them didn't even know. Hell, my friend here didn't even know till recently. She's like, what the fuck? I mean, seriously, like most people just don't know about this. And so I'm like, the one thing I wish I had going through this is someone that got it. So if I can just help one person, then that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like I have to speak up and use my voice. And I have to be brave, even though it's, it's not fun.
No, it's
but I think
not.
It'll get easier as I continue to like open up. I think it'll just get easier.
Of course. I mean, I think like anything in life, the more we're open and honest and talk about it and put it out there and, that's just life. Things do get, things do get easier, you know, as time, but we have to be open and honest. We have to be open and honest. We have to talk about it. If we kind of put it behind us, then definitely you're never going to be able to work through it.
Right? And I truly, with all the stuff that I've done and all the times where, you know, things could have happened where I really shouldn't be here. All the, you know, the partying and the getting in the cars with strangers, just all the crazy shit I did when I was younger. And the fact that I'm still here, I just know in my soul that, like, I am here for a reason. Yeah. And I am meant to tell my story and somehow, like, you know, be this, like, massive creator that, you know, does all the fun music and, like, the fun stuff, but also as someone that people can relate to.
Yes.
That they're like, no, like, she's cool. We can relate to her. She's open. She's honest. She's vulnerable. And, like, and that's why I knew, you know, criminal justice. I'm not fucking doing this.
Yes.
You know, I was, fuck this. I don't want to work for the fucking government. I'd rather die.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So
yes.
I was like, although here, I will say this, like, I think school, like, I did learn a lot. Like, I don't mean like about criminal justice. I mean, just like, I had to learn how to somehow, like, go through all this traumatic shit with my parents, but also somehow find time and a way to, like, work and pay my bills, but then also get my papers written. Like, I had to learn, like, how to, like, make shit just happen.
Yeah.
So I had to be responsible. Like, I had to learn how to, like, have 20 billion things going on at once. So I think if anything, it helped me in that way.
No, that's incredible. Did you end up, like, seeing all the way through? Did you drop out?
Oh,
you
did. Mm-hmm, yeah. Wow. So I started, and then this shit happened with my family.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I had a biology teacher, and I think this was the last class I had to graduate. And my parents had just done this shit to me. I had just lost my kid. And so I told her, I was like, is there any way I can talk to you in your office? I really need to, I got to talk to you. Because I was struggling in the class. And this is why. I mean, no, I just, my fucking kid.
Obviously.
Right. And I just said, look, and I started crying. I was like, I won't go into detail because I just can't even begin to start with the situation. But, like, I'm having some very severe family problems at the moment. And I'm not asking you, like, all I'm asking is that, like, can I come to your, you know, your office after class? And can you just, you know, talk, you know, help me through some of this stuff? Because I'm not understanding it.
Yeah.
She goes, it's not my problem.
What?
She didn't give a fuck. So she failed me. She failed me. And so I had to take the class again. And I did. Yeah, she didn't give a flying fuck. I don't remember her name, but fuck you, whoever you are. Yeah, it was horrible. So I was like, but I'm, you know, I finally started to realize, even though I was in a lot of pain, and I realized, like, you know, I don't know if the father, the biological father of this child will ever be around this kid because he's a mess. No, I don't know where he's at now. I don't know what he does now. Maybe he's changed. I don't know. But I thought, I want to see this kid one day, and I might not ever be able to have him because he was adopted. And like I said, that doesn't really get reversed, but, like, I want to see this kid again. So I need to get my head on my ass and stop partying and hang around bad people and get my shit together. And that's when I enrolled myself in school. I'll be honest, man, I was going on a shitload of sugar daddy dates to help pay for this shit, man. I was going on sugar daddy websites and just fucking, like, going on date after date because I was, like, trying to get money for my books. And, like, I did anything and everything I could to, like, stay afloat, pay my bills, and get, you know, go to school and graduate. And I did it by my fucking self with no support, no nothing. So my first time seeing my parents was a couple years ago, my first time seeing them in years. And they're like, so what have you been up to? I'm like, well, I graduated college and I did this and that. And, like, and they feel really, I mean, they honestly, like, the first time I saw them, it was, I think, Christmas Eve. And, like, they lost their shit. They felt so fucking bad. And, like, they started crying and they're like, we're so sorry. And we never meant for this to happen. And they didn't want my kid going with these people. They wanted my son. They wanted us to have my son. But there was nothing any of us could do anymore. Like, we had fought and fought. And, like, we just, there was nothing. So I talk to them. They're a lot closer with my brothers because all these years that I was, like, not speaking to them, the family was essentially mom, dad, and my brothers, and they'd all go do stuff. So I feel like they're close. They go on vacation together. I don't even get a phone call about it. I find out on social media, but that's a whole thing. But I speak to them, and they're good people, and they mean well. But I don't think we'll ever be super, 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 super close. But I have love for them, though, and I've been able to, like, forgive, even though, like, it's been shit.
Yeah.
I've never gone to therapy about this either. Maybe I should. I don't know. Or I could just keep doing podcasts.
That's got to be very hard.
Yeah.
To to see your parents and three brothers going on vacation.
Oh, yeah. This past Christmas, I'm like, they're in St. Thomas? And so I like let my mom know. I'm like, wow, I didn't get an invite. Well, I knew you were going on your own cruise in January, so we didn't think you'd want to come. Like, it's not about that. It's about you didn't even fucking ask me if I wanted to go. But that's okay. And I think they're going to, like, Moab here in a few months to ride, you know, dune buggies and shit. I didn't get a phone call about that either. But I just accepted the fact that I'm different, and it is what it is. I mean, I'm not going to let this get me down. Does it bother me a little bit? Sometimes it does. It does sting and it hurts.
You're a human being.
But, like, I'm not going to let this derail me. Like, I have a purpose. I have goals. I have shit to do. And family or not. And one thing, too, throughout all this, I learned how the fuck to be alone. I lost my family and my kid. So if any person thinks they can come into my life and fuck around and I'll just accept it, you got another thing fucking coming. I cut off my fucking parents and I lost my fucking kid and had nothing and no one. And I'll do that the rest of my life if that means my life is peaceful. I've been single for 10 years. Like I said, I don't put up with shit.
Do you feel that going through these experiences, though, that you could put up a guard, right, and not sometimes allow the right people in?
Possibly. But again, like I said, going back to me being an empath and a feeler, I can feel when someone's legit and genuine. It's almost like this feeling of like when I'm around someone that's in alignment with me.
Yeah.
It's like I'm being recharged. Like we can talk and it just flows and it's just effortless and it's just good and it feels good.
Yes.
It just feels good. So it's like I can sense when there's, you know, people coming into my life or I'm connecting with someone that should be there.
Yeah.
And then when I connect with someone that maybe shouldn't, I'm nice about it, but I'll just kind of back away.
Yeah.
But I feel like all this stuff has taught me to like just I think first and foremost that like I know how to be alone. I'm all I had, and I had to just figure it out. I had to figure out how to pay my bills and go to school and, like, just all these things so young. So I've never relied on fucking anybody. So if anyone thinks they can come into my life and, like, you know, act up, well, you got me fucked up.
Whatever ended up happening with your brother?
Oh, he's in remission, and he has been for years. And every so often... every so many years he goes and gets a full scan just in case. But no, he's good. And, my brothers ended up, it's funny. Cause like one's what, 31, one's 29 and one's like 24 and they went and like started a business and they're like super successful. And like, So like they're doing really great. And
how's then the youngest one with them,
one of them for whatever reason, just like won't talk to me. I don't, part of me thinks that he's resentful of the fact that like, I was the problem child and like mom and dad gave me all this attention, but like I didn't want their fucking attention, you know? And so I think, I don't know. And then here I am, mom and dad are always on my ass and always, you know, dealing with my problems. And he's the one with the cancer and he wasn't the bad kid. So I part of me thinks there's like resentment because of that. And then I got pregnant and then caused, you know, all that shit with the family. And so I think he resents me. He's never said it, but like he will not. I don't know. Like I'll text him for his birthday and he just won't respond. I don't know. But then the other two, we speak here and there.
Yeah.
So I wish him, you know, I don't have anything against any of my brothers. And even now, like I said, I don't hold a grudge against my family or my parents. But I'm well aware that we'll probably never, I don't think I'll ever have the relationship that my brothers have with mom and dad. And it's okay. It is what it is. And you know, there's people that are friends that I'm closer with. And, you know, blood is not, what's to say? Blood is not thicker than water or something?
Yep.
Doesn't that mean like sometimes?
Blood is not.
Is that what it is?
We look that up real quick. Blood, type no, in, it's blood, like, blood is thicker than water. Phrase.
But doesn't it mean?
Blood is thicker than water.
Blood is thicker than water.
But it means like, I thought that like the expression meant something like, just because someone's your family does not mean. Blood is thicker than water. I don't know, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, like, but I've always heard, blood is thicker than water. What does it mean?
I thought...
The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Is that the one?
No. I just thought there was an expression of like saying that like...
I've never heard that one.
Just because someone, your family, and you're related to them, you don't get to choose that.
No,
that
yeah.
That doesn't that's mean fa- yeah, that yeah, 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 you yeah. have to be best friends with them. Like, I have people that were not related, and I know they give a shit about me, and they care about me, and... sometimes maybe I think more than my family does. So
yes.
I butchered the fuck out
no,
of that.
No, you know. No, but I've heard blood is thicker than water, but whatever the fuck it means. Because there's another saying, you know, too. It's like, family is the friends you don't... I don't know.
You know, like
whatever
that.
The fuck it is. Right. That being said, is like, I totally understand what you are saying.
Yeah.
Because the closest people, some of the closest people that I have in this entire world are not, you know, my biological family.
100%.
I mean, this motherfucker right here, but like, he's my fucking brother as much as my brother is. And
exactly, and
I just don't see it any differently, right? And just because we don't share the same blood,
that doesn't matter. Doesn't mean shit. Well, then there's people that I know that have the most toxic family members that are horrible, and they did this whole, well, but that's my dad, and it's like, you don't have to put up with that.
No, you don't.
Just because someone's your family does not mean that you deserve, and you have to let the abuse, that you have 100%. To put up with the abuse and say it's okay. Fuck that.
Yes.
You do not, and you shouldn't. And I would recommend don't have those people in your life.
Yeah. It's like that you know, I remember when I was younger.
Yeah.
My father, God, I'm going to butcher this phrase too.
Hey, we're both doing this.
It's like, you got to give respect, but fuck. Pretty much, it's like, you know, you have to respect me just because I'm your elder. You know, it's just like, you know, respect your elders. No, it's like, no. You to get respect, you have to give respect, right? And it goes both ways, it does. Right? In life, it goes both ways,
it does.
Right? And so just because your family, is you guys have blood, that does not mean that that you're going to be close or any of that.
Sometimes I wish it was the case.
Well, of course.
Because like I know people that are super close with all their siblings and their mom and dad, and I'm like, damn, I kind of like wish I had that. But I'm like, yeah, but you know, I have people in my life that are not related, but they're so kind to me, and like, I know they really care about me, and that's important.
Yes, of course.
And I'm grateful for that. So, you know, and who knows what happens down the line.
Of course.
But as far as now, like, I see my parents and I, you know, we're fine. We get along. But I don't know if we'll ever be super, super, super close. It's just been so much shit.
I mean, you create the life
happened.
You live, you know, it's like you create the life you that do. You live. So it's like,
you do.
At the end of the day, whatever happens, right? Well, that's for you to decide at this point in marriage, you know. So you know, you can never tell what the future is going.
No
to
idea,
hold.
Right? But at least we're all speaking terms, and at least what's really cool is like, I have had a full circle moment with, you know, went through all this shit, but I get to see this my kid.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
And like the fact that like I'm in his life and we do talk and I do get to see him, and like that's so important.
Yeah,
and so like I'm so grateful for that, and it's just crazy that like I never. Oh my God, I never thought I'd get to this point where I'd be like just able to accept what happened. Yeah. Like that like my kid was taken, and I just have to accept the fact that someone else raises him. Like that's the fact that I can accept it and like still see him, and like it's been all, you know, it took a lot of work to get to that. And it took a lot of years to be able to even face these people and reach out and say, I'm ready now, and we need to talk.
Right. They could have told you to fuck off too.
They could have. And I was prepared if they did. I mean, I was just gonna get a lawyer to make. You know, I don't know what I could have done, but I probably would have sent them something saying, like, I don't know, taking them to court and just tried to kind of rattle their cage to be like, look, I'm serious. I want to see this kid.
Yeah.
So thank God I didn't have to do that, and we were able to amicably talk. It was very, like I said, emotional. It was hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, they totally could have told me to go fuck myself,
absolutely.
And they didn't.
No. Absolutely.
But I think that here's the thing, though. I think that they knew I wasn't going to go away.
Yeah.
And if they decided to tell me to fuck myself, one day this kid's going to turn 18.
Of course.
And if you think I'm not going to go looking for him and find him and tell him everything, you're
wrong. Well, it's going to make him resent
them. One, and they knew that.
Of course.
And they didn't want, and they didn't want to take him from me. And they don't want, because, you know, he knows my parents very well. Yeah. They didn't want him to not, you know, have a relationship with them. But yeah, they knew that if they were to do this, it would. Yeah,
but there are you know, parents that adopt kids that do that for
that,
sure.
100%. There's a lot of them that do 100%. That because they're like, oh, we don't want to.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful. No. I'm very grateful that they gave me a chance to sit and talk with me, and that they were open to me seeing him, and that they let me. I can text them and say, hey, I'm gonna be in town. Can I see her? And they're like, yeah, you know, he'll be home around this time or whatever. And they let me come by, and we'll sit and we'll play games and, you know, sit and talk. And I usually, when I travel, sometimes I'll pick up little gifts for him or whatever. So
awesome.
I'm really grateful for that. And I just, I'm excited to see kind of where this relationship goes, and watching him grow and thrive is like, I'm happy that he's doing well.
Yes.
Because it would
yes.
be horrible to find out that he was struggling. But yeah, it would just probably fuck me
100%.
Up.
100%. You know, one thing you said earlier that I don't know if a lot of people talk about, and I appreciate you being open, was, you know, the sugar dating, yeah. right? About, you know, getting yourself through school,
yeah.
right? Like, and I appreciate you being open and honest about that, right? Like, what is that, like, how, what does that entail?
Well, I mean, I would just, because I remember, well, here's the thing, too. I kind of got forced into it. And what I mean by that is, you know, I was working like multiple jobs just to stay afloat. And every single, what kept getting in the way was my school schedule. Nobody fucking wanted to hire me. And like, nobody was willing to work with the fact that, and I was only in school a couple days a week.
Yeah.
But I had a person look me dead in the face and say, I don't care that you're in school because I'm trying to run a business. So here I am thinking, wait a minute. I'm getting paid bullshit money and being told that, like, you know, I don't care about your school schedule, and I'm slaving to make bare minimum. I'm not really even paying my bills. So I found this, you know, some websites, and I went on there and was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And started kind of going on dates or meeting guys or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing, well, wait a minute. I can make a lot of fucking cash in like an hour max. More than what I'm making with all these stupid ass jobs, and no one's telling me what to do.
100%.
So I literally quit all the jobs and would just meet men. Here's the thing too, though. I will not be in a relationship and sugar date. Like,
obviously.
But
I don't say obviously. I'm just for sure. But that's just scandalous.
But I've been single this whole time, and here's the thing. Like, I've committed to. I was like, you know what. I'm choosing me. I want to go to school. I want to make something of myself so I have a chance to see this kid and also just to have a good life after everything I've been through. And so, you know, I immersed myself in this sugar dating world, and I've been doing it for like 12 years.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it. Now, I want out. I don't want to do this shit anymore. And I'm working on, I'm actively taking steps to get the fuck out of it.
Yes.
But I do, you know, I still see people here and there, and I have no fucking shame in it.
No.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
No, you're not.
And I can't tell you how many times, I'm not even kidding you, I've had guys say, thank you so much for just listening to me.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these guys are like CEOs and like the heads of, you know, just they have a lot going on, and like, they have no one to turn to.
Yeah.
And the fact that here I am, I'm non-judgmental. I'll sit here and listen. I'll offer advice, whatever. It's like the amount of times I've been told, just thank you for listening. And thank you for hanging out with me today. It makes me feel like, I'm doing something good. You know, I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. I'm single, so I'm not fucking over anybody.
Absolutely.
Not to mention, I'm not trying to have I won't have a relationship with these people. Like, as far as a serious, but not like, no.
Yeah.
Like, this is just strictly like friendship / business.
Yes.
This is not, you know, I even go by a different name, and like, wall goes up.
Yes.
Emotions are not attached. Wall goes up. I do the job. It's no different than going to a goddamn, excuse me, can I say that?
100%.
Okay. I was like, oh no, that's
You're
kind
good.
Of out there.
You're good. You're Isn't good. That- You're good. There's a lot worse than said on this podcast.
There,
You're good.
It's no different than paying like what, hundreds of dollars to sit and talk to a therapist.
100%.
They don't get emotionally involved in you. They're nice to you, but they take your money, and you're paying for their time.
Yes.
So these men are paying. You're paying for my time.
Yes.
You know, if things go down in that time, whatever happens, happens. But like, you're not paying me for sex. You're paying me for my time.
100%.
And if I can help by being the person to talk to, and I'm no different than what I am doing the same thing a therapist does. The only difference is I can't prescribe medication.
Yeah.
And I don't want that responsibility.
Well, actually, therapists can't. Psychologists can't.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I am a therapist just without the billions of years in school and a bunch of medical debt or whatever the hell they have to go through.
Yeah, and you're probably doing more help than a lot of this.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's good therapists out there, but there's also a lot of shitty ones.
Right. So I don't have any shame. You know, for a long time, you know, I would never have said something like this.
Yes.
I would always lie and be like, no, like, I'm going to, you know, I do. I would lie, make up jobs that I never fucking did.
I'm an accountant.
No, I would. I'd be like, you know, I run this. Or, oh, no, my best one was I manage a photography company. Bitch,
ooh,
I've never managed a fucking photography.
There we go.
I've never worked for a photography company in my life, but I'd say that because I had a friend that was a photographer. And I'd lie and say that I managed things for him. And I even went to the extent of saying, like, oh yeah, you know, if a client comes in, I sit down with them, I go over packages. That is, no, I never did that. I was meeting men.
It's a good cover
either in hotel rooms or at restaurants, yes. Dude. Like, I was.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
But yeah, no, it's the fact that I can like openly talk about this. I feel it's like nice to be able to talk about it because I guess I felt
ashamed.
Although, well, I didn't feel bad because I didn't think I was doing anything wrong because I was like, well, I'm over here trying to get through school and trying to like make something of myself and like not struggle and all this. And you know, there were times where I was able to even help friends that were struggling because of what I was doing.
Yes.
I had a friend that called me one time. She was about to get her fucking lights shut off. And I said, what's your Venmo? I'll pay. Yeah. I'll send you the money, you know, because I had just gone on a date and I had a little extra cash, you know? So I didn't ever see anything wrong with what I was doing, but I knew how badly society was like, that's disgusting. It's like, fuck you.
Then
how about you pay my fucking bills then?
It's so crazy. Oh, it's so crazy because the number one most like society says that this is bad and wrong, right? But the number one most consumed content online is fucking porn, right?
Well, also,
and I'm not saying that's porn, but I'm just saying, like, how can society say that any of that's bad? Like, it's just, it's fucking, it's bullshit.
Well, also, what makes me laugh about it is, like, society says what I'm doing is disgusting and wrong and illegal, but yet it's totally fine for girls and guys to go on Tinder and swipe right and then get wasted and maybe get a hamburger bought for them just, you know, in exchange for sex.
Yeah.
And get nothing out of it, but maybe regret and some STDs or something. You know, it's like, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. But, like, me, like, you know, having intellectual conversation, maybe being the shoulder to cry on, maybe being like a therapist in a way and helping somebody, that's disgusting. Like, fuck you. No. I don't give a shit. Like, and also I think for a while I was like, well, what if I one day meet somebody that I really like that I want to date?
Yeah.
Like, what if they don't want me because of this? And it's like, well, then that's not the fucking person for me. Like, I don't think I'd be attracted to someone that would be so judgmental.
100%.
But that 100%. Thought has crossed my mind. But then I was like, Anna, hold on. You wouldn't even want somebody that was like that. Like, you'd want someone that was just like so non-judgmental. And like, more than likely, I feel like I'll end up with someone that also has a story.
Yeah, of course.
Because I mean, we can, you know, we'd vibe.
Yeah. And it's just, anyone that you meet in life that is your partner, right? Your significant other.
Yeah.
You want them to know, you know, your story. And you want them to know these, like, it's important to be open and honest with the people in your circle and the people that you care about.
And
most
I would
in life.
Totally tell. I would totally tell. Now, I don't see myself doing sugar dating and like being in something serious. I feel like that'll end. I'll be doing something else and it'll all work out. Like, it'll all align. I haven't even met that person yet anyway, so it doesn't even matter. But that did, you know, that was a thought in my head for a long time of like, who's going to want me? I was like, fuck them, dude. If you don't want me because of that, then you're not someone I'd ever want to be with. Anyway.
I mean, there's plenty of people out there. And I have you met people that are judgmental about it?
Honestly, no. That's what I'm saying. I think it was just in my head. I think I just was like nervous of like, what if? But like, to be honest, I haven't. I have anything. No. I've met people that are like, that's really interesting. And I'd love to tell me more. Like, this is, wow. Anna, you know, that's so crazy. Like, I don't think anyone's ever said anything negative. And also too, my thing is like, if you're going to judge me for this, you better make sure you've never done anything. I hope you're a virgin when I meet you.
100%.
You know, like, get the fuck out of here.
And you make such a valid point. Like, what is the difference of someone meeting online?
Right.
Right. The guy taking the girl out to a nice restaurant. Right.
Right.
Having a good conversation. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then them hooking up. Yeah. Right. Compared to what you do, you guys met online, go out to dinner, have a nice conversation. And then if it leads to that at the end, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
And no one's getting hurt because there's not emotions involved. And if anything, you're helping me because you're giving me X amount of money or, you know, a gift to help me.
Yeah.
And I sat there and was your therapist for an hour. It's just like it's a positive thing.
Yeah. And it's non-judgmental. Like, you're not judging them whatsoever.
I'm here to listen.
100%. I mean, if anything, like when you got on a date, right? Like you could fear that that person is judging you.
Totally. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I think that it's a win-win situation and you are two grown adults, right?
No.
Right. So like, I don't understand society's view on it. And I definitely think it's changing. I think it's the fucking boomers and up that look at it weird. And then just like closed-minded idiots that are younger. Right.
Like, I don't think anyone I think it was in my head because now it's like you have OnlyFans and stuff. So it's like, it makes it all so normal.
And it's like, come on. Like, fucking OnlyFans is so big.
I know.
It's so big.
I have one. Yeah. I don't love being on there.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to shut it down soon. But I definitely got on there and made some quick cash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why do you think it is that OnlyFans blew up so quickly?
I don't know. I mean, I think because, I mean, when I first made, and I'm so new to it, and I don't fucking really know how it all works, and I don't want to put a lot of energy into it, because I think I'm on my way out of like just sex work in general. I've been in it for 12 years. I'm like kind of over it. Yeah. No different than like you work a job for a long time and you get tired of it and want to do something else. Like that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But I know when I first made one, I'm seeing all these guys I went to high school with that sat behind me in math class are subscribing. So I think there's a lot of that of like, you know, people you went to middle school and high school with just, like, they want to see that girl, you know?
Yeah. That is so true.
It's or so like, true. Yeah. So people like that, I think there's, that I don't know. I think I don't know why it got so fucking
big. Well, it's just also like
didn't it blow up during COVID too? People had nothing to do but look at fucking porn all day and watch Tiger King.
Yes. Fucking Tiger King. Gosh darn.
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin, fucking bitch.
That bitch Carol Baskin.
It's so crazy.
That goddamn bitch Carol Baskin.
And now he's running for president.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'd vote for him. Would you?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. But fuck no. No, but probably I would.
I probably would vote for it. 100%.
But yeah, he's definitely running 2024 from jail.
From jail. Amazing. I commend him. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's crazy is that Carol Baskin
I don't think she killed her husband.
Well, she
well, I think it came out that she didn't. He was found on an island somewhere, but who knows if that's true.
But is that true? Can you look that up? Because that's what I was just about to say.
It recently came out. But like, I don't know. Did she put that story out?
Because that's
out?
What
I
I'm saying.
Know.
I think
know.
That she said that. So Carol Baskin, did she? Because she said that her husband was found. But then I don't really fucking know.
I thought he showed himself.
It's just claims. Yep. Carol Baskin claims husband Don Lewis is actually alive in Costa Rica, but authorities are still looking.
So she fed him to the fucking tigers. If we have not seen him on record saying, "Hey, I'm Carol Baskin's husband," and he can't prove that he married her,
that's sus as
then
fuck.
Then the fucking tigers ate him.
That's sus as fuck. I mean, come on, that's like the greatest way to like, if you're gonna like kill someone,
tigers. Like, you know what's funny? She has a cameo, and you can you fucking not. She was singing, I think 50 Cent's like the in the club.
Yeah.
And it was the cringiest thing I've ever seen, but I couldn't take my eyes. It was like a train wreck. It's like, you can't stop watching.
I know.
But I kind of would like a cameo from her.
I know. I wanted like certain cameos from like different people, mm-hmm. like promoting the podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
Carol Baskin.
Like fucking Carol Baskin and shit.
Watch back to your story. Yeah. Hi, I'm Carol Baskin. But she has to wear the flower crown.
Yes,
I don't want
Yes. Tyler, we got to start doing that, bro. Just get different fucking like weirdo like cringe fucking celebrities promoting. That would be great.
No, I think people... Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. If I saw Carol fucking Baskin in her goofy zebra print or leopard print shirt with a flower crown...
Yeah, let's
talking go. Talking about listening to this podcast, I'm listening to the fucking podcast.
Let's fucking
Speaking of, when the Tiger King shit was going on, like, I love making content and doing, like, fun stuff, and I ended up buying, like, a little tiger... Well, a stuffed tiger from Amazon. I got
a little baby tiger.
Yeah. I bought a leopard print shirt like Carol Baskin. I had half of my face painted like a tiger, and I got the flower crown, took a picture of Carol fucking Baskin. I posted on Instagram. It was like during like COVID.
I love that shit. Oh, God damn. I remember I was so addicted to that shit.
Me too.
They came out with a TV show about it too. Or fucking a few things, but I never even watched it.
Really?
But like, do you think, right? Do you think that show would have blown up as big as it was if COVID?
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
No, because we had nothing to fucking do. Like I said, watch porn and Tiger King.
Yes. And so that is.
Nothing else to do.
And getting back to OnlyFans. Getting back to OnlyFans, right? Is like, I think. What it does also is it like takes the veil off of like your favorite content creators,
right?
Allows you to see a different side of them. Because like look at like fucking Bad Baby. Like she's like,
oh man,
fucking making like 50 mil a year.
But here's
like
the thing, like, but would she be that if she didn't have the Dr. Phil thing? No, she would just
but
be some
girl.
She
just like catch me outside. Like it's just so fucking crazy.
And what a story. I mean, what a crazy situation. Good for her though.
No, exactly.
For cashing the fuck in. She'll never have to work a day in her life if she doesn't want to.
No.
And to be honest, if I had the opportunity to go on Dr. Phil and say a bunch of crazy shit with my crazy mom and then make $50 million overnight, I mean, like, props to her, dude. I would do it in a heartbeat.
100%.
Yeah, I think 100%. It's amazing. Good for her.
I mean, it fucking worked out. It worked out. Who would have thought, right? Who would have fucking thought?
Just, catch me outside. Like, how about that? And like,
she's like a rapper too, or something.
Yeah, right? Like, I'll be honest. Like, I hate to admit it, but like, some of her songs are kind of good.
Is it good? Is it good? Is it good? Oh, shit. Yeah. Hey, I heard
like one or two. And I'm like, all right, damn it, Danielle. This isn't too bad.
Let's fucking go, dude. So, you know, kind of getting back to your story.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Going through all of these experiences
right
throughout your life, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Where are you today?
Well, I definitely feel like I've come full circle with a lot of these things, and I'm just really grateful that I'm at this place, and I'm clear-headed, and I have goals, and I am so excited for the future and everything that I got going on. I see myself, because I'm very big into like that music, rock and metal, like scene, yeah. music-wise, and so where my heart is at is, one, doing things that are exciting to me, like being involved in music, but also somehow tying that into, well, how do we help people?
Yeah.
So what I see myself doing is I see myself like kind of being like a female Jose Mangan of like the hosting, but also like I want to sit down with
female these, who? I'm so sorry.
You know who Jose Mangan is?
Nope.
Oh, well, he's on Sirius XM.
Sorry.
We're giving him all the promo.
Yeah, let's fucking go.
Is that the last name?
Jose Mangan, M-A-N-G-I-N. He's like, you know Sirius XM is, right?
Yeah, of
he's
course. Got, no, he, I don't know what it is. What the fuck was I born yesterday?
Dude, he's
I
got,
am 36.
No, he hosts, I think it's called Liquid. You've never seen him?
Oh, yeah.
You know who, the
yes,
guy on the right.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
So like, he does like hosting, like he'll like these massive like rock event, like, you know, festivals. He'll introduce his bands and stuff. And he's, I think he's got a podcast and does all kinds of shit. So I see myself doing stuff like that. And, but also, like, I would love to just, like, sit down with these, like, massive artists that have stories and just have conversations like this and be able to show a side of these people that people don't normally get to see. Because when they do interviews, what is it? It's the same fucking thing. So what inspired? Who gives a fuck?
Absolutely.
But once you, like, once you've seen one interview like that, you don't need to see any more.
Yeah.
So I want to be the one that, like, we're talking and we forget the cameras are there. It's just the two of us sitting and talking. Yes. And, you know, I want to be able to connect with them and where they feel comfortable and they're open and they share. And I'd love for the fans to be able to see this special side of this human. And in hopes that it would probably maybe help people. And I do plan on continuing to share my story and in hopes that that helps people as well. And I just see myself doing so many things and I'm just really excited for the future.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that I can say that is pretty awesome because years ago, man, I didn't even know if I'd be here. I mean, I just was like, because I just was like, how am I going to recover from this?
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't think that there was a way to. And like I said, like if it wasn't for the fact that I'm grounded in regards to having like a higher power, like that is so important to me. And like that, knowing that there's something bigger than me out there that has kept me safe throughout all this crazy shit and has had my best interest and has been there for me, guiding me, like, that has been so incredible. And I'm grateful that I have that as well. And I feel like if this thing, we'll call it God, just for sake of it. If God has let me go through all this shit and I've overcome all of it, he's not just going to walk away, man. He's going to continue to be with me. And, you know, all these doors are going to open and I'm going to have my whole walking into the promised land moment. And I'm so excited.
How did you reconnect with a higher power?
Well, after I kind of, you know, I grew up in the church, man, I don't know if I should have meant this, but fuck it. I remember my parents made me go to this dumbass, like, Young Life camp. And I was pissed because they forced me to go. I didn't want to go. I wanted to go see Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And I had a Lil Wayne. Let's I was going go. To see Lil Wayne. And
Tunji.
Yeah, right.
he just fucked up the other day.
I didn't know this.
At the Wiltern, but I'll share with you
fuck.
After.
Okay.
I'll share with you after.
Yeah, so they signed me up to go to this dumbass sleepaway camp with all these clicky girls from my school, and I didn't want to go, and I wanted to go see Lil Wayne instead, so I went and just stole a bunch of shit from the gift shop. I was at this like Jesus camp and just stole a bunch of shit from the gift shop. But anyways, so I was had, you know, Jesus forced down my throat and I hated it. And I had a creepy ass youth pastor that would make little comments about my tight Abercrombie pants and like
Jesus was trying to force something down your throat.
Right. You know, he'd bring me in his office and tell me my shirt was too low. I'm like fucking 14.
Fuck
yeah, it was weird.
Here.
And then he would tell me that how, you know, I hope you're not having sex because, you know, I didn't wait. And then I had to tell my wife that she wasn't the first and it was horrible. And I'm like, why are you telling me? It was weird. So I just was like, fuck all. It was just creepy and weird. And so I decided to go off on my own and like not have that.
Yeah.
But then when you go through a bunch of dark stuff and you just feel so helpless, it kind of made me turn to like, well, I'm at rock bottom. Like I'm at rock bottom. I just lost my fucking kid. I have no family. You know, I'm partying all the time. I don't like, I am like rock fucking bottom. And that's also kind of when I started just kind of like, I don't know, like I would just wake up spiritually and I just started seeing the signs and I just felt like it was like the presence of some type of higher power was there and protecting me and with me. And I'd start to pray, you know, I started praying, I started journaling and, things just started like really cool stuff. Just things started to happen. And I started to turn around. I'm like, wait a minute, maybe there is something to this whole God thing. Like maybe there is, maybe I'll give it one more chance. And I did. And I'm so grateful that I did now. And I did, you know, I did start going back to church and stuff, but I'm real weird with that. Like I love the idea of it. But now that I've moved to Tennessee, I don't have one quite yet. Church folks can be kind of judgy. And I'm like, how am I going to walk up in there when they ask me, what have I done? And I'm like, I've been a sex worker. That's going to go over real fucking well, you know? So I like the idea of church for like community. And, you know, the church I used to go to in North Carolina, like the pastor was phenomenal. I would go listen to what he said, take what resonates, let go of what doesn't, and just sneak out the back door. I didn't even stick around to like really make friends and mingle. So I might do that again and find a good one in Tennessee.
There's got to be like, like non-denominational, non-judgmental, and fucking, you know, ex-drug addict, fucking, you know, whatever, check the box, this, that.
And that's what resonates, stuff like gang that.
Banger, whatever, you know, that's just like, who gives a fuck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who gives a fuck? Amen. We're all here, right?
Amen.
Right? Yeah. They're out there. They're out there. Right?
And something like that is what would resonate with me.
Yeah, definitely. Shit, I'm Jewish. And I mean, I only say I'm Jewish because that's like my mom and dad were, but like I wasn't brought up Jewish. So Jewish culturally.
Okay.
Or, you know, but like not, I'm not religious by any means.
Right.
You know, for the longest time, like I didn't even like, I believed like, you know, you, when it was over, it's over. Right.
But
like,
right.
I don't know. Like if all of this is crazy enough, this is crazy it's that so we're crazy. Even here.
I know. It's like how did we get here?
Like crazy that we're talking and all of this shit that's around us. Right.
I know.
If all of this could happen, there's a potential that something else could happen.
Right.
And it's so hard for my brain to like fathom that like all of this came from nothing. Like just like this, like, I don't know. Like personally, like I don't buy like the whole, like I think like the Bible is like,
there's good stories
in there, for sure. Right? Good interpretations. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, but I can't anymore say like yes or no. Cause anyone that does, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah, cause like how
you don't fucking know.
No.
You don't fucking there's no one, I guess there's no one on this planet that doesn't know, that knows for sure.
Right.
But 99.999% of people have no fucking clue.
No, but I have definitely found like just peace in reading some stuff in there and like that. And but I think what really got me to kind of turn back to faith and realize something's out there is because like I said, I had a lot of close calls where I shouldn't be here. And I'm like, well, look, I mean, I am. And like miracles would happen. And like, I would get out of the situation right before something went down. And I'm like, there is something out there that is watching out for my ass. Like, it's not me. I'm fucking off. I mean, I'm doing everything bad that you can think of, but I keep getting, you know, I keep just missing, escaping death. And I'm like, something is watching out for me, you know? And I that's so, like I said, I wouldn't say religious, but I'm super spiritual.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm a big believer in energy.
Yes.
Like, right. Like I'm a big believer in energy. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it is like life is just fucking crazy. Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of beauty out there.
Yeah.
You know, you just gotta sometimes look for it.
Amen.
Right.
I feel that. Yeah.
So as we start to wrap this up, right, I've got a few more questions.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
When you leave this earth,
mm-hmm.
when you leave this planet, take your last breath, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered as the person that didn't give up, you know, that although faced a lot of really, really tough things, I did not let it destroy me. And I didn't give up. I persevered. became very successful and was able to use my trials and tribulations to help other people get through stuff, you know? Yeah. And that's what I care about. That means so much to me. That's why I'm like, I came this far, man. I'm not fucking giving up. I'm going to keep going. Help as many people as I possibly can. Be the biggest fucking creator you've ever seen. Biggest content creator.
I love it.
And, you know, use my platform to tell my story and just spread love and light. That's truly and this is why, like I said, I've said this a bunch, but like I knew that although I went to college, like I was like, I'm not using this degree because this doesn't feel right. What feels good to me is like being this creator that like shares my story and is vulnerable and connects with people and somehow maybe helps somebody. Yeah. You know? So
you said successful. What does define what being successful means to you?
Being completely financially free, or there's like money's not even an issue. So that, and just like going back to helping people, being able to, use my story and my voice to improve people's lives.
Yeah.
And encourage, that's a big one. Encourage others.
If you could look back, if you could say anything to your younger self,
oh God,
what would it be?
Hang in there. It's about to get rocky. No. What would I say? God, there's so much I'd say. I don't even know where to start because it's like, man. Goodness, that's a hard man. That's a hard one. I don't know. Maybe just I know it sounds kind of cliche and dumb, but just like hang in there. Better days are coming, and it's darkest before dawn. Sometimes things have to get really fucking shitty so that you can kind of like get through all the bullshit, clear all that shit out, and you can start kind of rebuilding. And it's kind of like, you know, I think of like, say you're driving on the road and you see some like shitty dilapidated house that's like kind of falling apart. You don't just go build a mansion, a beautiful mansion on top of it. No, you have to bulldoze that shitty house and flatten the land and get all the shit out. And I feel like, you know, we go through things and we hit rock bottom, but sometimes we have to so that we can have a clean like foundation and then like a start over. We can start over and kind of build from there. And so, I think I'd tell my younger self, just like hang in there, darkest before dawn, and, you know, don't give up. I feel like that sounds so stupid. No, I feel like I gotta come up with something better. I don't know. That's all I got.
I like that. It's darkest before dawn.
It is, man. Sometimes it gets really fucking shitty. But also too, man, these bad times, they don't last.
No.
But when you're in it, like when you are in that, it's like it's really hard to see the light. It's so hard to see out when like you are in a shitty situation. But that shit just doesn't last.
No.
And if you can just remember that, and if you can just press on a little more, I promise you things are going to get better. I can't tell you when, but like they will. I can promise you this. They will get better. They are going to get better.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
Yes. 100%. Do you?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love to hear it.
Have you ever, hold on. It's modern contact. Oh my God.
What's that?
Modern. Oh my God. Give me one sec. I'm going to find it. Is
do it,
by
it.
Far the most, it's the documentary that I just saw that by far, like for me, I was like,
okay,
fuck yeah. Like they are definitely here.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Let me see. What the hell is his name? Hold on. I don't want to. Let me just hold on. Don't leave me here. Okay. Oh, Jack Carr. His name. Pull this up, Mr. Tyler. Moment of Contact by James Fox.
And this is a documentary?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pull this up right here. So James Fox is a documentarian. It's called Moment of Contact. Here we go. Just right there. Yeah, just hit. Is that all that is? No, don't click on the YouTube. No, we don't want to watch it. Scroll down just a little bit. Okay. All right, pretty much. In exploration for extraterrestrial encounters centered on a series of events in 1996 when citizens of Virginia, Brazil reported seeing a UFO crash and one or more strange creatures.
Whoa.
Now, what is incredible about this story is that he doesn't talk to one. He doesn't talk to two. He talks to multiple people around this town, right? From all different walks of life, socioeconomic classes, right?
Yeah.
That all share a similar story and all involved with this one experience that happened in 1996.
Whoa, okay.
And it, unless these people are paid actors, right? Which I would not see James Fox, you know, risking his career
on
this over trying to bullshit people. Right. Because the thing is he went into this, like, he didn't believe it. Like, he heard about this story fucking years ago and he thought it was bullshit. And then it was just multiple people high up in the CIA and just different people kept on telling him about this story that took place in 96 in Virginia, Brazil.
Wow.
And eventually when he went to go and investigate in it, he created this amazing documentary and it's absolutely fucking mind-boggling.
And where can I watch this?
It's called Moment of Contact. Yeah, and it's on Prime.
Okay.
He's created other documentaries, but that's amazing. Yeah. And if you want to, like, he was just on Joe Rogan recently.
Really?
Yeah, James Fox. Like, definitely.
I'm going to watch this.
Definitely check it out.
Yes.
My wife and I just watched it. We were flying back from the Hamptons.
Yeah.
We just went to a wedding and on our way back, we watched it. And,
oh my gosh.
You know, it's absolutely mind blowing.
I'm going to watch this. 100%. I think that's amazing.
Definitely.
Because I do believe in aliens.
Yes. So, I mean,
They green? I don't know. But I do think that there's shit out there that there is extraterrestrials for sure.
I mean, you know the picture of like aliens that we see with like smooth, big head, eyes,
green,
right?
And like the I don't know.
Like,
maybe
like no genitals, all that. It's like if you look at evolution, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at us compared to like Neanderthals, and, you know, just like the lineage, right? Going to where we are today. Well, if you continue to kind of like push this forward, right? You know, skinnier, you know, more weakling bodies, bigger fucking heads, bigger brains, right? I could totally fucking see us evolving into something that would look like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. Right.
Right. Right.
And I mean, you know what scares me more? Not what? Aliens. To think that we're the only ones out there.
It's ignorant. Of course there's more than just us out there.
100%.
But my thing is, like, I know there's more stuff out there. Like, I don't have like proof. Like, I can't show you, oh, look at this picture of aliens. Like, no, but I know there's more than just us out there. It was weird to me is like, why won't people let us know about it? Cause like, I know people know about this and they try and keep it from us.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up.
They probably think we're going to like rise up or freak out or like,
we probably would. And I'm going to be mad cause I know that things exist. And I think they know if we found out, cause we've had the wool pulled over our eyes for so long. And so, of course, when we find out, we're going to be mad that you hid this from us. But still, I mean, but what's the point of hiding this?
No, there's no point of hiding it. There's no point. But I also think it's from a defense level. Like, we try to control our airspaces. We try to control all of those things. And if we can't control whatever this thing is, right? Like, it makes nations look weak, right? And I just think
that's true.
It's like a stupid mindset, but I do understand, right? But like, still, that's no excuse. Tell us, give us the information,
please.
You know, and more than ever, they have been. Like, they definitely, like, very little but
hints.
More than ever. It's not like they were, you know, back in the 50s and 60s and all that shit took place in Roswell. They were not giving any information out, right?
Well, so I was in Vegas and I went to this place called Area 15 and saw a concert there. I only say that because Area 51, you cannot go, they will snipe you. Like, you can't, why?
Yeah.
What are you doing that you can't let us know about? Like, there's something, I don't know what it is, but like, it's just weird to me that like, we are kept in the dark about so much and they're like, you can't come over here and find out what we're doing. Well, what are you doing?
Well, they could be testing, like, you know, secret weapons.
Why can't they just tell us?
Well, because they don't want the rest of the other nations to know.
Right? Well, see, I thought it was more alien stuff. You don't think it's like... Well,
yeah. I mean, that's what all of us think, too. Right. Have you watched the story of Bob Lazar?
No, I've heard about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Pull that one up real quick, and I'll be back, and then we'll wrap this one up. Bob Lazar, he's got an incredible, incredible, incredible story.
Really?
And the documentary he did with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp is on Netflix.
Wow, okay.
Pull up the documentary. Yeah, that one right there. It's called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. Man, these are like the shortest fucking synopsis. Oh, there we go. Former government physicist Bob Lazar made headlines worldwide in 1989 when he came forward with his account of reverse engineering an alien spacecraft for the U.S. military. The reason the public even knows the name Area 51 is because of Lazar forward about his work that he did at the formerly secret military base. So pretty much...
Right.
Just check it out. Like mind-boggling. And listen, I love it. This guy has been telling the same story.
Is he still alive?
He is.
I'm surprised. Usually when you start running your mouth.
Well,
like,
that's, it's kind of crazy.
He catches what me and my friend called the suicide flu.
Well,
you don't make it very long.
Talk to Epstein about that.
Yeah, that's all. I could talk. Don't get me started. We'll be here for another 3 hours. If you want to go down that rabbit hole.
Shit. Round two will definitely make that happen.
I'd love to talk about that. I have a lot of things to say on that one.
Fucking hell, man. Anna Banana, where can people find your information?
So on Instagram, I'm Anna Cabana Official. Cabana with a K.
Yes.
And then I have a Facebook, but like I don't really. I would say Instagram is mainly where I'm at. I have a TikTok. I need to get back on there and start doing stuff again. But I think it's the Anna Cabana on the talk.
And then
you have Instagram, which is Anna Cabana Official. And I dabbled in YouTube a while back. I should do that. I don't know. Is YouTube even a thing anymore?
Oh, it's bigger than ever. But
I thought it kind of died out, so I stopped doing it. But it's like I really enjoyed it. But I had a friend that was doing all my editing, and she ended up getting real busy, and I don't want to sit there and edit shit. So I don't know.
Consistency. That's what it comes down to, right?
And right.
Just putting out good content and consistency. Right?
So you're saying that it's still, like, YouTube is still booming?
Watch this. Type this up. How many hours of YouTube are consumed daily?
Yeah, but I thought TikTok was, like, the place. So I thought
that's for short-form content, right?
Okay.
So
in 2022, users consumed, on average, 1 billion hours of videos every single day.
So, okay, so maybe get back on there then.
I mean, but, yeah, if it's long-form. I mean, they also have shorts and everything like that, but, like, it's definitely a very viable source, right? No, no, definitely not. I mean, it comes down to consistency, right?
But TikTok is known for the place to, like, I guess, go viral and blow up the quickest.
Yeah, I mean, you'd say so. Yeah, right.
I think so, because you could do something, it could just hit, and it's just like, oh my, overnight you get all these followers. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, yeah,
but there's no right. It's like there's like you could like there's been times where I spent a lot of time like making something, and I'm like, this is so awesome. Nothing happens.
100%.
There's something that I couldn't give two shits about that I didn't even try at all, and like people want to watch it. I'm like, man, fuck all of you. Fuck you guys, dude.
It's so crazy how that happened. There's shit that we put out. We're like,
this is good. Okay. Everyone's going to love it. Nobody watch it. Crickets.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, what the fuck? And why am I even doing this?
And then even like stuff too, like that you'll put out, maybe that it doesn't do good today, but then 2 months later, it's fucking popping.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of, music that it's funny because like there's this one band called Bad Omens that just is like really big right now. It's in like the metal scene. And they put out this song like I think a while ago, but there's the song they put out that just recently hit and is blown the fuck up. It's not a super new song. I think it's been out. I don't know. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. But like, because of that, that has put this band on the map like crazy.
It's so crazy.
I know. So TikTok is like, I think, the spot.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you want it like short, quick content that you can, you know, edit really quickly at home and all of that. Yeah, definitely.
But if you could go viral on there and get these people to then click the little Instagram icon and go follow you on there. It's like...
Yeah, yeah, but sometimes it's hard, like, you know.
To get people to click it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you got to show some skin,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
just take clothes off.
I think that's what we got to start doing, Tyler.
That's all you got to do, just to do, take your clothes off.
I was going to fucking start doing podcasts naked.
Do it.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm telling you, you start taking your clothes off, and like people are like, then they're interested. It's like, well, you didn't fucking care what I had to say before. All right, you know.
Shit.
It's, sex sells, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. Fucking number one. Boom! Anna, thank you so very much. I appreciate you coming on the podcast to share your story. Absolutely. Have a good night, people. Thank you so much for listening, watching. Don't forget to like, subscribe, do whatever the fuck you do. Smooches.
Bye.
Boom.
Woo. Oh, man.
Give me a hug.
Hold on. All my tits falling
out. Put them away.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that. I appreciate it.